Welcome to the Celebration Church Orlando podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Can we put our hands together for the goodness of God and for what he's doing in this place? Lindsay and the team are going to come back up and lead us in worship in just a few moments as we prepare to go into baptism. But I got a couple of things that I want to share. As mentioned earlier, thank you guys so much for coming and worshiping, being down here in downtown Orlando. You know, it gets wild down here at night, and y'all guys weathered it all, and y'all decided to pull up. So I'm so thankful that y'all are here online. We're grateful for you as well. So thank you guys for being here. Turn to someone around you. Welcome them out to Celebration After Dark, and go ahead and take your seats. Right. We have been experiencing such a move and a power of God in our community, and we always have, but we just feel this incredible momentum that's being established in our church, and it's all of us collectively coming together with worship and generosity and leaning in, and I believe that this is the beginning stages of an incredible revival. I'll share more about that in the coming weeks, but I believe that we're sensing this revival movement that's happening amongst our church. Today is Baptism Sunday. There we go. I thought I was going to have to say it twice, but y'all are already dialed in. I'm so glad that y'all are. I want to read a couple of passages of scriptures to us to kind of set the tone of what we're going to be able to celebrate and engage in today. The first passage is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. These are the final words of Jesus, so to speak, speaking to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, and he gives them the Great Commission. That's the assignment. That's ultimately the job responsibility that Jesus gives to the church. So every church has this mandate that has been given to us by Jesus. We may have different ways that we frame it. We may have different ways that we talk about it. But at the end of the day, every church has been given their assignment by Jesus, and it's found here, starting here at verse number 19. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always until the end of the age." Jesus says, tell them about me, get them baptized, and teach them my ways. I want you to go off into the world. Baptism is such a critical component of our walk with God. I've often heard it said that it's similar to putting a wedding ring on your faith. And while I believe that that's a bit of an oversimplification, I do believe that the comparison does have a little bit of merit, because it truly is an outward expression of a personal commitment. But I also believe that there is more to it. You know, scripture tells us that we are to be baptized. And when we do this, we are burying the old version of us, and we're coming up in the new version that God has for us to be. Symbolic of when Jesus went into the grave, he buried and then he came up. We're coming up in the newness of Christ. The book of Acts, where we see a lot of the baptism expressed in the early church, is a great document that helps us to see the significance and the power that is found in baptism. When you read the book of Acts and you just kind of see it's a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. So every year I like to read them both together to kind of have this continuous thought that Luke is ultimately helping us to grab a hold of. So he introduces us to the Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Spirit. We see the early church birth. We see a lot of things happening. But then we also see that as these move of God take place, that there's these baptism events that are meant to anchor people in their commitment to Jesus. I want to share one of the accounts with you here in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It's truly one of my favorites because of all the dynamics at play. I have a few verses I want to read, so I want us to just kind of lean in, and you can highlight this in your Bible. It'll be on the screen behind me, but you can just listen and just receive what the Lord is speaking to us. Starting here in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road.' So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. Then the Spirit told Philip, 'Go and join that chariot.' And when Philip ran up, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" How can I, he says, "unless someone guides me." So he invited Philip to come in and sit with him. Now this passage that he was reading was this, and this is quoting from Isaiah. It says, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb he was silent before his shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied. Who will describe his generation? For his life was taken from earth." This is the passage that he's reading. He's looking at it and he can't wrap his mind around what's going on. So he says to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying about this, himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. And as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went his way rejoicing. What a powerful moment. Just to give you some context, Philip was responsible for bringing a revival to a community of people. Just the entire town was getting saved. And then Jesus comes to him and says, "Hey, I know that you have a large gathering over here, but I need you to get up and go to this desert road because there's an assignment that I have for you." I love how we see in Scripture, they're not obsessed with the size of the congregation. They're more focused on the impact of what they're called to do. So he leaves from this large environment where there's a revival and all these things happen, and he says, "But the Lord has an assignment for me with this one man," and he's obedient. And as a result of that, we see a seismic change take place. Today for Baptism Sunday, I want to talk to us for a couple of moments about the significance of this text and what I think it also means for us as individuals. And I want to speak to us on a subject that I've entitled Turning Point. Let's pray and let's see what it is the Lord wants to speak to us today. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of grace. We thank you for inviting us to come into an environment as beautiful and has such rich history as this. And God, we just want to add value to the incredible atmosphere that's already been established. So Father, I just pray over the next few moments that you give us open eyes that we can see you and only you. I pray that you give us open ears to hear you and only you. And God, I pray for open hearts to receive what it is that you want to do in us. But more importantly, God, that we can allow it to take root and we can be transformed as a result of it. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turning point is a pivotal moment in a person's life where they experience significant change. It's a change of direction. It's when something happens that serves as a catalyst for things to no longer remain the same. It's the place where our choices and our behavior intersect together. It's where I have my mind made up, but then there's also a behavior that supports it that becomes a turning point. Here's a couple of examples of turning points that I've seen in the lives of people that I know. I know a friend of mine who started his own business, and he's very successful in that business now. But he, for many years, had worked for an organization. And for all of those years, he felt overlooked. He felt undervalued. He felt that he helped build up something but wasn't receiving the respect that he felt that he was supposed to get. So after he was ignored that last time, that became a turning point for him. He recognized that, man, I have something to contribute. There's a vision inside of me, and I'm going to go and pursue it myself. And so he left that company and went off and launched his own business. But that disappointment, that being shut down, was a turning point moment for him, a moment where he had an experience that was a catalyst for him to go and have some other experiences. My professor in school, he tells us about this turning point that he experienced where he lost his father to heart disease, and then he was very close to his uncle, and then he lost his uncle to heart disease, and he saw the pain that was passed down. And so after witnessing this multiple generations in, he made a decision like, hey, I need to do some things differently with the way that I take care of my body. I need to eat differently. I need to move differently. So the death of his uncle, the death of his father, and the sickness in his family became the turning point for him to make some adjustments in his life. He said, I can't continue to function this way, because if I do, then I'm going to get the same results. A turning point is when my mind meets my actions and there's a pivot as a result of it. I often think about relationships, and whenever Megan and I have an opportunity to do premarital guidance and we're talking with couples, one of the questions I love to ask is like, when did you know that that person was the one? What was the moment? And I like to ask that question quite candidly, because I know that life is going to bring you different situations where you will question why you were married in the first place. Can I talk to somebody right now? So I know what has helped me and Megan to survive is I've often gone back to the turning point in our relationship. The turning point in our relationship was not just when she fell madly in love with me. Who can blame her? It wasn't just that. It wasn't when she chased me down in high school and wouldn't stay away from me. It wasn't just that. It wasn't when she would sing and serenade me over the phone. It wasn't just that. But the turning point for me is when we both surrender our life to God, and God spoke to me and said that this is the woman that your ministry is connected to, and I'm calling you to steward this relationship. And as you steward this, I will call you into doing some great things. That was a turning point for me, because when the future came, and we had challenges, we had opposition, I would have to often go back to that altar moment to remind myself of what we said yes to, because sometimes the circumstances may be different, but I gotta remember that turning point. That turning point is that moment when you've made a decision that is also connected to your behavior. And the interesting thing about turning points, they're often connected to challenges. It's often something that happens, a pressure, a setback, a disappointment that comes upon us that then activates or leads us into this turning point. As we enter into the text that we just read, I believe that we're looking at a seismic turning point in the life of this Ethiopian brother. Let me give you some context as to what's going on in his world. The Bible says that he was coming back from Jerusalem. He had went to Jerusalem to worship. What that means is that he was considered an outsider. He would have been viewed as a Gentile. And so when he went to Jerusalem, he would have been sequestered to stay in what they referred to as the court of the Gentiles. So it was the idea that, hey, we understand that you want to worship Yahweh, the true and living God, but you only can come but so close because your ethnicity prevents you from coming into the most holy place or the inner court. So he had limitations to how close he could come to God based off his ethnicity. Furthermore, the Bible says that he was a eunuch. That means he didn't have the ability to reproduce. And so the Bible literally says that whenever someone has a dysfunction, that they're not even allowed to participate in sacred worship activities because they were seen as being unholy or unclean or impure. So from his perspective, he travels hundreds upon hundreds of miles to go to the temple to worship in Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he's not able to go inside of the temple. When he gets there, he learns that his dysfunction puts a lid on his intimacy with God. So he leaves that and he's on his way back home. And now he's reading from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, to be exact. He's hearing about this lamb that was slain for the sins of many people. And as he's reading this page, in the context of him leaving Jerusalem, where Jesus was recently crucified and resurrected, the church has been birthed and there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of chaos happening in the city. He's coming back, reading a passage of scripture that literally connects the dots between what he's reading and what he's experiencing, and he couldn't see it. Here's my question that I want to pose to some of us. Have you ever found yourself going into the household of faith and feeling as if there's a limit to my intimacy with God? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you feel as if my brokenness disqualifies me from being in the presence of God? And now you find yourself reading scripture, but you don't understand what you're reading. To make it more practical, he was stuck on the part that talked about Jesus's suffering, and he couldn't get past it. I suggest that there's some among us that are reading between the lines of our suffering, and watch this, we can't identify Jesus in it. I'm going through a difficult time and I don't see Jesus in this. I'm going through a struggle right now and I don't understand where Jesus is at. I'm stuck in this rut and I can't get past it. I don't have any clarity. I don't understand it. I don't see Jesus in the suffering. He was looking at a passage of scripture, but he didn't see Jesus in the suffering. He was stuck on that page. Some of us are stuck. We're stuck on a page and we can't get past it. One of the things that I have grown to really appreciate about Megan and I being in school at the same time is that I'm able to utilize the books, because she's one semester ahead of me. And so we only got to buy the books once. We're going to school on a discount, baby. So we're on this journey now where I get a chance to read her books and I look at her highlights and I'm just learning through her. It's an amazing thing. However, some of our resources are digital, and it just so happens that this semester we're in a class together. I'm not going to say who's doing better in that class, but he has the microphone. I joke, but I'm not. Okay, so anyway, so because we're in this book together, there's one book that we have that's a digital book. And as I'm reading through it, I found myself at a place where I'm about 3 days into my reading, and it's not clear to me. I'm not understanding. It seems as if the authors are being incredibly redundant. I'm like, why do they keep saying the same thing over and over again? I don't understand, like, what's wrong? Like, I get it, let's move on. And I couldn't understand it until I realized that because we both were using the same digital device, that our accounts were synced. So every time I would read a page and move on, when she would read a page behind it, it would automatically put me back on the page that she was reading because it was all synced in the cloud. So for 3 days, it took me 3 days of reading the exact same page over and over and over and over again before I realized that I'm stuck on this page because I haven't been able to progress past it because I'm synced with the cloud. I don't know why it took me 3 days, guys. It's been a stressful season. 3 days in. So I had to go into the settings. I had to disconnect from the cloud that I was synced to so that my progress could begin to move forward. I suspect for some of us, we have been going through the same thing over and over again. I suspect for some of us, there's been some things that we feel as if this is very familiar territory. And every time I feel like I'm moving forward, it seems as if I'm staying in exactly the same place. I go to church, I give it to God, but it seems as if God keeps giving it back to me. Am I talking to anybody in here today? I feel like I'm on the same page over and over again. But interestingly enough, when I disengaged from the cloud, I had to connect to a different source that was able to mark my progress. For the Ethiopian, as he was reading this page and he couldn't get past it, God sends Philip into his life. And Philip says, do you understand that you're synced to the wrong things? And so beginning with that passage, he began to explain Jesus to him. Now watch this. He's reading Isaiah 53 that talks about the suffering of Jesus, and he was stuck there. But if he only knew that if he could turn the page and get to Isaiah 54, that he would get to the infamous passage that says that there's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. If he could just turn the next page and get to Isaiah 55, he would see that God's word never comes back to him void, that he's going to fulfill exactly what he says he's going to do. If he could just turn the page and get to Isaiah 56, the Bible says it speaks about the redemption of all nations, inclusive of eunuchs and those who are broken, that they're going to be able to worship God without barrier. What I'm here to let you know is that maybe you've been reading from the same page over and over again and you don't feel like you're making progress, but I'm here to let you know that you're about to turn the page and that you're about to get into a place that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You're about to turn the page and get to a place where you can declare God's promises over your life. You're about to turn the page and recognize redemption is for you and your family. You're about to turn the page and recognize that you got victory in Christ Jesus. I believe we should be more excited about that than this church. God is turning the page for some of us right now. He's turning the page on your situation right now. I know you've been stuck looking at suffering. I know you've been stuck looking at disappointment. I know you've been stuck looking at all the pain and the anguish that's come into your world. But Jesus is here, and he's telling you it's time to turn the page. You're synced to the wrong things. You're looking at the wrong stuff. I'm turning the page to lead you into a place of victory. The Bible says that Philip helped him to turn the page. And when he spoke to him about Jesus, at some point, he evidently began to talk to him about the importance of baptism. Because as they're on this journey, he says, look, there's water. Is there anything to keep me from getting baptized? You know why he was saying that? Because he was an Ethiopian ethnicity. He was a eunuch dysfunction. And he was wondering if his present condition was a barrier for him being able to worship God. Philip said, there's absolutely nothing to keep you from engaging the presence of God. Because of Jesus, he removed the barrier between your brokenness, your sin, your fear, your dysfunction. He removed the barrier so now you can come boldly before the throne of grace. I want to help someone to understand that baptism removes the barriers that allows us to have intimacy with God. It's a privilege that we're able to go into the presence of God without anything preventing us anymore. The Bible explains that as Philip takes him down, that is symbolic of everything buried, and he's raised up to new. On May 6th of 2000, Megan and I, we got baptized. And I still remember it because the week before that is when we had this radical encounter with God. this radical encounter that just changed everything for us. But if I can be real with you, I was raised in a Christian household. So was Megan. We were raised in a Christian context. My grandfather was a pastor. I was raised in that world. So that was something I was very familiar with. So I would say like once a quarter, I would go to church and I would do the sinner's prayer of repentance. Don't y'all look at me like y'all never did that before. You come to church, you get it's like getting a fresh wash, a fresh repentance. Lord, I won't do it again. And then you go back out. Am I talking to myself in here today? I thought I was talking to people that was going to be real with me. So I would do that. Like I would go in, my mom would say, hey, Keith, you need to get yourself together. I'm like, yeah, mom, you're right. I would go to church. I would repent. I would say, Lord, you know, change my life. And I would have like a good 2-3 day window. If I was really good, maybe a week without cussing. And then I would find myself right back into the same patterns and the same behaviors. So in April of that year, when we had this radical encounter in the presence of God, I knew that something was different. But I believe that God was telling me to take the next step. He was like, Keith, I've heard you pray this prayer before. I know that you've made this commitment before. I know that you've had this confession before. But right now, this is a turning point for you. And if you get baptized, you won't go back. There was something powerful about that moment when Megan and I, that next week, We were able to go to this church, and we had some of the deacons and the elders at the church, and they came, and it was just her and I, and I was a little bit nervous, and I was like, man, like, do I really have to do this? What's this all about? But I remember this freedom that I was being ushered into, and I remember to this day that Elder Mike, may he rest in peace, he whispered in my ear, and as he was about to take me down, he said, all right, Brother Keith, I want you to think about all the shame, all the baggage, all the mistakes, all the things that you've been through. We're about to bury it. And when you come up, you're going to be brand new. You're going to be brand new. And even though I've prayed the prayers, I've gone through the motions, I've done those things, when I went in that water, I literally felt the chains breaking off of me. I literally felt a renewing of my soul and my spirit. And I remember coming out of that water, and I remember feeling brand new, and I just remember this shoulder, this weight coming off of my shoulders, and me coming to this place of knowing I'm not going back. From that moment forward, and I still actively do this, whenever temptation, whenever I struggle because I am far from perfect, whenever those old inclinations rise up, that old man comes up, I often remind myself audibly, nope, I left that in the water. Nope, I left that in the water. That's the old Keith. I left that in the water. That's the old me. I left that in the water. And I rehearse it. And I do it over and over again because when I got baptized, it was a turning point for me. In fact, I'll say it this way. Baptism is the turning point that helps us turn the page. There's some of us that we've been going through some things over and over again. Maybe what you need to establish your turning point is to get baptized so that you can actually turn the page. I suspect there's some of us that have come here prepared to get baptized. But I also suspect that there's some among us who need to get baptized. So the question that I will pose to you is this. Look, there's water. What's preventing you from getting baptized today? Because shame isn't, the resources aren't. It's us making the decision that there's some things that I need to leave in the water so that I can experience the turning point that God has for me. I'm tired of reading from the same script over and over again. I'm tired of having this moment where I'm seeing the same things over and over again. But baptism is going to be the turning point that helps me turn the page. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, I want to pose a question as we prepare to go into a moment of worship. Maybe you're with us today and your next step is simply to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're on a journey and maybe you're away from him. You're not in relationship with him. God's grace is sufficient, but if you're honest, there's not the intimacy. There's not the drawing to God that you know that you long for. This is a room that's sacred. It's a room that's personal. And even this moment, I want it to be private. It's not a secret, but I want it to be private. If you're in here with us today and you know that your next step is simply to say yes to Jesus, on the count of three, I just want you to boldly lift your hands up. No one's looking around. This is just us. But I want to make sure that we can signify this moment because I think that this can be a turning point for you. One, two. two, three. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Church, we put our hands together and celebrate with everyone. I said that today is the day that I'm turning the page. This is my turning point. Here's what we're going to do. Lindsay and the team is going to come up, and they're going to lead us into another song of worship. And what I want to do is I want to invite everyone that came today that's prepared to get baptized. Those who came and you knew that you came, like you signed up to get baptized. As we go into worship, I want you to go ahead and slip out the doors in the back, and you can go into the restrooms and begin to change. But I also know that there's others amongst us that need to get baptized. We want to create the space for you to do that as well. That this is an opportunity for us to hit that turning point and turn the page and leave some things in the water. Will you stand on your feet with me as we prepare to pray? And again, if you came prepared to get baptized, you can make your way out. After let me finish praying for us, and then as worship goes on, then you can slip out. But I also want to challenge some of us, because I feel in my heart that there are even some that have said yes to Jesus today. And you're like, man, I didn't come prepared. I didn't tell my family, I didn't tell my friends. There's nothing keeping you. You're like, man, I didn't bring any change of clothes. Guess what? We got clothes for you. Man, I don't know, man. I might get ashy in the water. Guess what? We got lotion for you. Like, we tried to remove every excuse that you can possibly think of to keep you from leaving some things in the water, having this turning point, and finally turning the page. Let me pray for us, and let's see what God wants to do as we prepare to celebrate baptism with the rest of our community. Lord, we thank you. Father, first, we thank you for every person that has said yes to Jesus. If that was you, just in your heart right now, I just want you to hear my voice, and I want you to pray these words alongside of me. Just say these in fact, I want all of us to say this together. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and that you rose from the grave. And because of that belief, I am saved. I am free. I am delivered. Fill me with your spirit and order my steps. Let me pray for the rest of us. Lord, you hear the confession of our community. And Lord, I pray for every person that is making that decision to get baptized, God, that you give them the boldness and the courage of knowing that this is a turning point for their lives and that they're not going back. Father, I also pray for those among us whose hearts have been fluttering, who have been feeling it in our stomach, knowing that Lord, could it possibly be my day to get baptized? I pray that you solidify that in their spirits right now. That God, as we worship, that as we invite you into this space, God, that we will feel activated, that this will be a turning point moment where our beliefs will match our behavior. And maybe this is the day that we get baptized. This is the day that we need to have a new page that's established, God. So Father, I pray that as we make this decision, setting an anchor in the ground, establishing an altar, saying that, Lord, today is the day that we don't go back. We're turning the page, and this is our turning point. So, Father, as we worship you, I pray that your spirit moves amongst us, stir our hearts, and order our steps in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message. We'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you heard today. If you'd like more content like this, or you'd like to connect with us, go to celebrationorl.org. We hope you join us next time.